as seen on TV. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted up at WGNplus.com. And of course, do not forget to go to my landing page, which is on WGNplus.com under the entertainment section, and its own little prompt of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. There will be 74 previous episodes up there. So, by all means, indulge. It's an Elton Jim buffet. So feel free to take chunks and hunks and fill your plate with 74 episodes. Binge to your heart's content. So it always pays, as I've said many times, to listen to previous podcasts, because oftentimes I will refer back to a previous podcast, and this way you're in the know. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I was talking to Emily Arminetti during the Pop Culture Club segment, I just happened to mention, for I don't even know why, but somehow we got a quick mention about some of my favorite As Seen on TV products, and you know what these are. If you watch television of any kind, they are those great infomercials or those great 60 or 90 second commercials that show some amazing, innovative product that you must have to make your life easier. And by some coincidence, they all cost $19.95. I'm not sure why. There must have been some marketing that was done, and it must have been proven that $20 is the dividing line between an impulse buy and, well, that's too much money. I guess $19.95 is that line. And so most of these As Seen on TV products now are all $19.95. But what I was bringing up some of my favorites of recent time, as I said, if you've been watching television in the last several years, these As Seen on TV products have become more and more popular. In fact, there are websites filled with them. And even, I believe it's like at Bed Bath & Beyond in some stores, they actually have a section that's just all As Seen on TV products. So you're like, geez, I wonder if they have that sponge with the smiley face on it. Well, I think if you go to that little section, I think it's Bed Bath & Beyond, there it is. If you don't want to either call in or go online, you can get it in real time. But as a TV fan, I'll tell you, those things and those products, it's funny because I've come to like them. I like their commercials. I watch their commercials. I always say to myself, geez, it would be kind of cool to have that, or that's a good idea, but I've never really pulled the trigger. I've never really ordered any of them. And but I was mentioning how, like, for instance, the one that has really caught my eye recently is the Hurricane Spin Broom. And the Hurricane Spin Broom is really cool in that it's got these two brushes, and you use it like a floor sweeper, but these two brushes on the side spin everything into this little compartment. And, I mean, my gosh, they show, it's unbelievable, they show a ham sandwich sitting on the floor, and they push the Hurricane Spin Broom, and the ham sandwich disappears. Now, I don't know if it works for a bologna sandwich or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I know darn well that based on that commercial, the Hurricane Spin Broom does pick up a ham sandwich or any other garbage or debris that you may have. And I'm like, wow, I could use that, because I am kind of finicky around the house. I do like everything in its place, and I do like to sweep the floor. I should work at one of those, like those house cleaning services where they come in like for an hour But I don't like to dust, but I like to sweep. I like a nice, clean, swept floor. So as they show in the commercial for the Hurricane Spin Broom, you know, you're, as they say it, you're chasing the line. If you ever swept, you know, when you have the dish, when you have the little dustpan, you sweep it into the dustpan and there's that line. And then you got to keep going and chasing that line. Well, not with the Hurricane Spin Broom. Then, of course, you know, there's the atomic lantern. If you see the atomic lantern, it's this little, like, it looks almost like a like an Alexa, like the Amazon Echo. It's like this round cylinder, and all you do is lift it up, and it blasts atomic light. Not just light, atomic light. 1995. You can't buy a nuclear weapon for 1995, but you can find atomic light. It's an atomic lantern, 1995. It even has a magnet. And the guy in the commercial sticks it on top of his Jeep. So I've looked at that and said, well, that'd be kind of cool because we go out into the yard a lot and we don't have any, you know, set lights out there. And I'm like, boy, I think the atomic lantern would be cool. And they drop it from a 50-foot tower and it still works. And then have you seen this other one called the sock slider? Very cool. You put a sock on this contraption. You sit in a chair. How many times is it a pain in the butt to bend over and put your socks on? You put a sock on this contraption. You're sitting in the chair. You put your foot in it. And you just push your foot and your sock gets on your foot. No bending. Amazing. The sock slider.
I feel like that'd be more beneficial if it was shoes instead of just the sock.
Well, that's true. Well, I don't know. Well, that's Cassara, the producer today. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. But then this thing is made of only of plastic. I think if you're talking about a shoe, you might need some metal.
I need these creators to go back and work on the shoe because I have certain shoes where, like, you know, you can't, they're not like where you can tie them and they're
right.
Not Velcro, but you had to, like, force your foot in there.
Yeah.
Some assistance would be appreciated.
Well, now, I don't know if you ever know that. I haven't seen a lot of them lately, but when I was a little kid, they used to have actually. Now, do you ever use shoehorns?
What is a shoe?
You don't even know what a shoehorn is, right?
No. What is that?
Honest to God. I just said the term shoehorn, and you gave me this blank look like I just spoke Sanskrit to you.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Is that like the plastic thing that they put in the gym shoes to like keep the toe looking nice?
No.
Okay. Well.
No, the shoehorn is either plastic or metal, and it's about maybe 6 or 8 inches long, and it's kind of oval at the bottom.
Okay.
And What you used to, wow, that's just hilarious. You'd never use a shoehorn.
I don't know a shoehorn.
So you put your,
I'm gonna Google this right now so I can see.
Yeah, you put your foot in your shoe, and then by your heel, you stick the shoehorn between your heel and the shoe, and your foot slides down the shoehorn and into your foot, into your shoe.
Oh, I see what it is.
Yeah.
No, I've never.
You've never used or seen a shoehorn?
No.
Oh my God. Wow, talk about a generation gap.
Yeah,
wow,
no.
You've never had, there was never a shoehorn in your house?
Never.
Wow. Now, for the most part, what kind of shoes do you wear? Like gym shoes or?
Yeah, I wear gym shoes. My mom only wears like flip-flops.
Yeah, see, so you wouldn't, because usually what a shoehorn was for more of like a dress shoe that was a little tighter, leather.
No, definitely not.
Yeah,
me, no.
So that's why you use the shoehorn because a gym shoe, you could use it, but you really wouldn't because. Those are more flexible, but it was,
yeah.
A shoehorn was for more of a more formal shoe, like a high heel or you know for a men's you know like a,
yeah.
A you know wingtip, where
no.
The shoe isn't as flexible, and so that would help your foot slide in. But to your point, so now when you look at the shoehorn there, the sock slider is basically a bigger version of the shoehorn. You stick your foot in, and the sock is over this contraption. Is it when you stick your foot in, your foot it almost it's not to get
okay I see
you see what it is
yeah I
not
see.
To not
okay.
To get too graphic, but it's almost like a condom.
Yeah.
It's like a foot condom.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird.
Yeah. But it gets your sock on without bending over.
No, that's just lazy.
Well, it is kind of lazy, but it also is for, I think, older people that might have a problem with their back.
Yeah, I see a lot of older people.
Yeah. So I think that's where they're going. But I'm looking at this and going, hey, I like that. The sock slider. Now, my point was, they used to have the older version of the sock slider for your shoes, because you were saying you'd like to have that contraption to put your shoes on.
Right.
Now picture the shoehorn, which you weren't even aware of five minutes ago.
I had no idea what that was.
Okay, so 5 minutes. So at least for people like a Sarah, people say, why do you listen to this podcast? You just learned something.
I did just learn.
You just learned what a shoe. Now when you go out, you have conversation with people.
Yeah.
You can just drop
the
shoehorn
knowledge.
Yeah. You didn't have that 5 minutes ago.
I don't think any of my friends even need a shoehorn. Now you can tell what kind of friends I have.
Right, but here's the thing. You can drop the shoehorn knowledge.
Right.
And they'll go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then you could sit around like Aristotle.
Right.
And
like I've just discovered
inform
something
new. Them yes. about the shoehorn, even though it's
none
hilarious.
It.
You will never use it, and you don't care about it. And I think it's hilarious that has never even got on your radar screen in life.
Never.
Isn't that so? So what I was saying was they used to have many years ago, very similar to had the same idea for the sock slider. They would have that shoehorn that you're seeing, just the small mm-hmm. shoehorn, but so you didn't need to bend down. They would almost have it on a cane, so there'd be like a long stick.
Mm-hmm.
So you would just sit down, and instead of having to bend over and put the shoehorn in your shoe, you would have this thing on a stick, and you'd just be sitting in the chair, and then using the stick, you'd put your heel up and just put your foot in using the shoehorn, but you wouldn't need to bend over. You'd have the stick up by your waist.
I mean, I could use that for some of my gym shoes, like my high tops. That would be very helpful. Like my boots, I have Tim's that sometimes bend.
Here's what you do. The next time you go to a shoe store, where do you buy your shoes?
Champs, you go, like Champs, Finish Line.
Do you go to the store, though, or do you buy them online?
I usually go to the store.
You go in the store?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing. You can blow them away.
And ask them for a shoehorn.
Ask for a shoehorn.
They're going to look at me like, I'm
but just do it. As a social experiment.
As a social experiment.
Just say, oh, do you have a shoehorn? And see what they do.
They're going to look at me so confused. Like,
okay, but I want to, but then I need you to report back to me because I want
to
know what they would say, because if they're in a shoe store.
Right.
And I wonder if they at least
know what
would be informed
is.
Of the shoehorn, even though.
I'll try it. You know what? My best friend actually works at Nike.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So let me see if I can text her and be like, hey, do you know what a shoehorn is?
Because, I mean, the thing is that they used to give shoehorns away for free.
Oh, man.
You used to just get them. Because when you bought shoes, they throw them in as like a free gift. Or if you went to some kind of a promotional thing, they would have shoehorns with people's, like with the company's name on it.
Right.
They'd give them away because everybody used a shoehorn. So that's something that has not continued in the popular culture.
Not at all. I mean, I feel like maybe my friends that dress more formally
know
what they are, like right. own one, but.
Wow.
I mean. Literally all my friends and I just we always wear gym shoes. That's just what
wow,
we wear.
Wow, that's too funny. Wow, that is interesting. But yeah. The sock slider is one that sort of caught my eye. There's the blackout charcoal mask. Now, if you never saw this, it's actually made of charcoal.
I love the charcoal mask.
Have you ever used it?
Yes.
Oh, you've used it?
Yeah. I just used one last week.
You did?
Yes.
So now if you ever saw this thing, it's charcoal. It comes. So what is it? It's like a. Is it? Is it start out as a liquid and then it dries on your face?
It's two
like
different
a paste?
Kinds you can get. There's one where it's like a liquid, like a regular face mask that doesn't peel, and then there's one that's like a thick paste.
Yeah.
Kind of chalky in a tub.
Right.
That you can rub on as well. Depends on which one you want.
Yeah. There are a couple of brands of this blackout, but one that I saw was the blackout charcoal mask, and you put it on your face, on your forehead. Around your temples, specifically around your nose and, your chin and your cheeks. It's like you basically cover your whole face except for your eyes.
Except
you
keep, eyes,
yeah,
mouth.
And your mouth, yeah. And you let that dry, and then you peel this off. And yep. and about a, if you remember about two or three, you might be a little too young, but about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, there was something called Bore, and it was similar to that, where this mask, and you pull the mask off, and then all your blackheads come out.
That's the purpose of the charcoal.
I know,
mask.
But it's so when they show that on television, they show these little pustules in the black mask.
Yeah, it's not pleasing to
look it's
at.
Not. It's but what's cool about it, it shows what was in there.
Right.
But at the same time, it's really disgusting to look at. But now you tell me. So when you pull this mask off, what's it feel like?
It feels like you're like peeling off dead skin, and like you just have like a new face.
Can you feel? So you feel a difference?
You feel it. Oh, you definitely feel it.
Really? So you can feel your pores are open?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I've done like a regular mask where you just wash it off,
right?
And then I've done the charcoal mask.
And you
I'll
like
do a charcoal mask over a regular
really?
Mask any day. Yeah.
So you are pro charcoal mask.
I'm pro charcoal mask.
Wow.
I see the results immediately, and I feel like with a regular mask that doesn't peel off, you have to like. You know, cleanse your face afterwards and do extra stuff along with it. But with the charcoal mask, after you peel it off,
nice.
Just wash your face with water and then you're good to
okay,
go.
Okay, so now my question is, so now you pulled off that mask.
Right. I mean, it comes off in pieces. It
right.
doesn't come off like
right.
all at once.
But anyway, but in the pieces, there's all the, you could, it's like all
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you see like all the different things that were in your pores.
Yeah, so it's like all this pus and all these blackheads,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, the blackheads,
so now,
pimples.
What do you do with it?
You just throw it away.
Does it crumble or like, or is it soft when you take it off?
It kind of just like rolls up. You can just like roll it up if you wanted to, and then you just throw it away. Kind of like almost like soggy paper.
Oh.
How you can like roll up soggy paper. It's kind of like that.
Ugh.
You just throw it away.
Ugh. But it does feel rejuvenating.
Oh yeah, it feels great.
Yeah,
it feels
for
great.
Like for how long? 10 minutes or what?
I did mine at night. And I mean, even when I woke up the next day, my face.
You were still feeling effervescent.
Yes, very much so.
Well, there you go. There's a testimonial for the blackout charcoal mask. And then, as the companion piece, if you've seen the commercial for this, they have the charcoal teeth whitener.
I want to use that so bad. I want to use that so bad.
Now, I have read online, I'm not endorsing or not endorsing this in any way, but I have seen online that some some people have said, oh, my dent, they've asked their dentist.
Right.
And the dentists have said, that they don't think that's a good idea because it actually may take off the enamel from your teeth, which is not good. But what I love about the commercial is that the irony is that it's there to whiten your teeth, but it comes in this little you know tub, and you basically take the toothbrush of this black charcoal
yep.
mix paste, and then you put it on your teeth. And so they show the people brushing their teeth. And they look like they've got no teeth.
Yeah,
they look like they've got rotten black teeth.
But it looks so pretty when they wash
it all off. Yeah, well, I know. But it's so funny how this black paste then is supposed to whiten.
Hey, pretty hurts. You got to get ugly
pretty
before
hurts.
You get cute.
There's the line of the day. Pretty hurts.
I'm just saying, I mean, when do you ever see someone that's just like pretty and then they just like
right.
become prettier? Like you
right.
always have an ugly stage first
right.
and then it gets good.
Yeah. So that one, I love the commercial for that. I haven't gone in for that one. Then the other one that I've seen that I've noticed that is on some TV stations or TV shows that might be once again geared to an older audience is called the Grab It. And it's kind of like these claws. That you and they show older people for the most part getting stuff off a high shelf or well actually a good use for it. They show if things fall between a narrow opening like say a couch and a table or between your washer and your dryer. A lot of times a sock or something will fall in
yes.
between there. And so they've got the Grab It, which is just this little pull. With some kind of a hand motion thing, and then there's claws at the other end, and people are grabbing milk, and they're grabbing cans, and they're grabbing boxes from shelves, and I'm like, wow, I don't have any physical problems in that I would need to reach something because I couldn't reach it, but the Grab It just looks pretty cool.
I think it'd be super helpful to, like, reach in between hard-to-reach places. Like, if I had that just to get in between the washer and dryer,
right. Yeah.
I'd have so many complete pairs of socks.
That's what I mean.
I would be so happy.
Yeah, because that's what they show, the stuff falling in between there. So the Grab-It looks like a cool one. Now, there's another one called the Hover Cover. And to me, this is a great idea. This goes in your microwave. It's a plastic dome. Because how many times have you had spaghetti sauce or even some kinds of meats? I know a lot of times we have chicken in the microwave for some reason, like a chicken patty or a chicken breast. And for some reason, it pops and explodes. And there's like chicken fragments all over the top and the sides of the microwave. So this is called the Hover Cover. And it's and the stuff still explodes, but at least it protects your – it keeps it you know, in the container, and it you cover it. And so it won't explode all over the inside of your microwave. That's not a bad idea either. So, you know, and then I've also seen the Micro Touch. You know, I've got a goatee, and the Micro Touch solo hair clipper is now, you know, is with everybody with beards and with stubble and with goatees, and everybody's kind of manicuring their face. And so that one seems to be. I've always had a clipper. Mine's about 15 years old. So I'm looking at this one now and saying, boy, that would be cool. But I've never made the plunge. The only one I have, I should make a caveat to that. There was one time our current vacuum cleaner about 6 or 8 months ago was really on its last leg or its last motor, whatever you want to call it. And we were sitting home one day in the afternoon, and there was the Shark Rocket. And what was great about the Shark Rocket was it has two – is a dual system – to get stuff off out of your carpet as well as off the floor, because we don't really have carpeting, we have rugs. But the cool thing was it's so slim and so thin that it literally goes underneath your couch, which is nice too, because that can become, you know, dust bunny central. And then they even had this extension that helps that you put onto it, and it goes it's very thin and goes under even a couch that doesn't even have a half of an inch from the floor. So that attachment was very cool. And it was showing how it picks up the stuff, and it was showing how it picks up all this garbage. And I couldn't believe what I did it, but I actually ordered that during the half-hour infomercial. Never did that before. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm talking about some – oh, I wanted to mention, because before we went, we started to record the podcast – I was talking to Cassera, the producer here today, and you said that you just recently got one of the As Seen on TV cooking things.
I did.
Which one did you get?
I got the Bacon Bowl.
The Bacon Bowl.
The good old Bacon Bowl.
The Bacon Bowl, which was, I thought that was a great, I never, another one, I didn't get it, but man, it looked like it was really good.
Yeah.
You put, it almost looked like a cupcake maker.
Right.
But you could put bacon, you put eggs, or you could put anything in there, right?
Yeah. Anything in there, yeah.
Now, you haven't used it yet, though, right?
I haven't used it yet, but I have been to different holiday parties where they use
oh, really?
It for different things.
And is it good?
I liked it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe their recipes are just really good, but well, I enjoyed it.
Well, that's like that, because there's that woman, Kathy Mitchell, and you, if you have ever watched television for more than 5 minutes, you've seen her on. She's that kind of middle-aged lady that with the bouffant haircut, and she makes all these five-minute meals, and she's got – now her big thing is the copper, the red copper pan and the flip witch, and she's got all these different, you know, easy-to-make omelets and easy-to-make burgers. She even makes a pie in a skillet. I don't know how the heck she does it, but she puts some kind of a dough or some kind of a mix, and then she puts some fruit in there, and she closes something up, and she makes a pie. And she makes pizzas and burritos and omelets and everything. So I don't know where all of a sudden we've discovered that copper is the new nonstick, metal that we have to put in our pans. But everybody's got – I've seen the Gotham steel copper plate. And then I've also seen the one that she's got, Kathy Mitchell, which has the red copper pan and everything. So my point is I know all these things by heart, believe me. And I always watch the commercials, but I've never ordered them. So about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I happened to talk about it just off the top of my head at the very end of one of the podcasts, and didn't go into this detail, but just mentioned a few. Certainly my hurricane spin broom, because that's the one that I've really been impressed with when I see the commercial. I could not believe this. So I get done recording. I drive home. When I get home, I open the back door, come in through the kitchen, and on the kitchen table is the box for the Hurricane Spin Broom, for the Atomic Lantern, and for the Micro Touch Clipper. My wife, for whatever reason, a couple of nights before, without telling me, she wanted to surprise me. I think we were watching these commercials, and I kept saying, man, you know, that really is a good idea. And so she probably said, oh, just screw it. You know, it's $20 a piece. And so the day that I happen to mention these just by accident, 2 hours later, I walk in my house, and there they are on the kitchen table. Needless to say, in the couple, 3 weeks, I love my Hurricane Spin Broom. It does work. It does pick up. Now, I haven't put the ham sandwich down on the floor yet, but I'm tempted. But it does pick up all those little crumbs and all that little dust. It does work as advertised. And all I can tell you is I threw out my broom and I threw out my dustpan. I am all in on the Hurricane Spin Broom, and it does work. My Atomic Lantern, my wife was just painting one of our bedrooms, and she started like in the beginning of the day, and it stretched into the evening, and it got dark. And the light in the room was bright, but not real bright, but she wanted to see how she was doing. What did she do? She pulled out the Atomic Lantern. She could totally see. It was like she was outside painting. Atomic Lantern. And I've used the Micro Touch for my goatee, and I must say that it is now, when I trim it in terms of length, it's very easy to use. It's lightweight, and I've been able to manicure it better. So I have to tell you, I am not an endorser for any of these products, and we've just heard Cassara say about the classic bacon bowl. Now, why did you buy the bacon bowl?
My mom found it on sale and just grabbed it for me and told me, here, yeah. Good luck.
So you haven't used it yet, though?
I have not used it. I've had it for like a month or two.
Oh, come on!
I know.
You got to start making bacon.
I just made bacon. So like I literally made bacon with hamburgers. And when I was done, I walked past where I left the bacon bowl. And I was like, man, I really could have just threw some bacon out here and put it in the oven.
I've got two assignments.
Oh, my friend texted me back. She actually didn't know what the...
She knew what a shoehorn was?
She knew what it was.
There, see?
Yeah.
All right, your friend who works at the shoe store.
She works at Nike.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have two assignments for you.
Right.
Now, Cassara has worked with me a couple of times. She's not the regular producer, but who knows? Hopefully we'll see you in the halls or we'll see you again. But I need to get... You have two assignments. So the next time I see you, I'm going to ask you about this.
Okay.
So you better do this soon, because you never know when we'll see each other again.
Right.
Two assignments. One, I want you to go into a shoe store.
Okay.
And ask for a shoehorn.
Right.
And I want you to observe.
And hope that the person that I have knows.
And if they don't, I want you to record in your mind their face or their reaction.
Got it.
So A, shoehorn at a shoe store. B, you got to try the bacon bowl.
I'll try the bacon bowl before I get. Actually, I have to. I'm planning on going to buy some shoes and a bomber jacket from Champs.
Oh,
sometime
nice.
Next week.
All right.
So I'll probably get to the shoehorn before I get to the bacon bowl.
Shoehorn. You've had now. You said even though you've had stuff cooked in the bacon bowl, you
I
said it was
done
good.
It yet. Right. But, I have to do it myself.
But you have to do it. That's how you decide.
Gotcha.
Whether it's easy.
Yay or nay.
Yeah. Whether it's easy and delicious as advertised. But yeah, those as seen on TV products, I'll tell you, the marketing for those, they get you. They put the food oriented ones on late in the evening, either just after supper or around 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night when you're a little hungry again,
yep,
to suck you in there. They make these other kind of things look like How can you live without this product? They know what they're doing. And as I said, that $19.95 price point must be, at least in today's world, we'll see in another 5 years, but for right now, $19.95 must be the price point as to what we will consider, it's only $20. Let me see. If I don't use it, it's only $20. Or because I'll tell you, when they show something and they say it's $39.95, I go, whoa, I don't care how good of an idea it is. That's $40. I'm not throwing away $40. But I guess in today's society, we're willing to risk 20, but we're not willing to risk like 30 or 40. And even when it's something that's more expensive, like for instance, when I bought my Shark Rocket vacuum cleaner, it was like $200 total. But once again, they offered it to me in like, you know, seven payments of $19.95 or whatever it was. They didn't want to go past the $20. So
I feel like the thing with the $20 is like when you go to the ATM, it's always going to
it comes out in 20s. Exactly.
So if you take out $100 and you're like, oh, it's only a 20,
right.
It's all right because I still have four 20s left.
We have definitely, and I never thought about that, but that's, you know, we are in a $20 kind of world now, and it's probably because of how it comes out of the ATM.
Exactly.
Because I remember several years ago, it used to come out in 10s.
Right.
You used to get 10s.
Right, they don't do that anymore.
And they don't get 10s anymore. Only 20s. It's only 20s.
That's it. Unless you, like, go into the teller and tell them,
exactly.
I need
right.
491. Right. Like, then they'll give it to you specifically.
Yeah. But in that ATM, it's and even when they give you the choices.
Right.
It's 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 120. It's never –
and everything's done by 20s.
It's always 20s, yeah. So maybe that's – right now we're in a $20 world. And the funny thing is that, you know, Andrew Jackson is going to be now. Isn't Harriet Tubman supposed? Remember Andrew Jackson?
Yeah, I think
is supposed to be taken off the 20.
So I heard. I don't know.
And then they're supposed to put Harriet Tubman in. So I'm still waiting for because then I would say, you know, I need four tubs.
Right.
Give me five tubs.
Which sounds a little weird, but yeah, that is what it will be.
Well, my dad was raised in the, you know, long time ago, and he used to always use all this slang. So and you don't even hear this stuff anymore, but I still use it just as a joke. So a $5 was a fin.
A fin.
You got a fin? That's $5.
Okay.
A sawbuck.
Sawbuck is still used.
$10.
That's 10.
Oh, they still use sawbuck?
Yeah, they still use sawbuck.
And then there's a double sawbuck.
Nah,
and that's 20.
It's called a dub.
A dub?
A dub.
Well, it could be a tub.
Well, now it'll be a tub. Yeah.
Oh, so you don't even say double saw. You just say a dub.
Yeah.
But you use sawbuck?
Yeah, sawbuck is 10.
Oh, you use sawbuck?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's still a term. Major term.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, then there's the Benjamin now, you know, the Benny
right.
for 100. But, yeah, my dad used to always say a fin is 5. You got a fin? Oh, it only costs a fin. And then 2 bits was always – that's weird. 2 bits was a quarter. So I don't know how much a bit was, but two bits was a quarter. How much is it? It's 2 bits. But the fin was 5. So blow away your friends. All I got is a fin. And they'll look at you, and once again you'll say, what do you mean? You don't know what fin is a $5?
See, it's going to confuse me because I'm going to think that it means finished or done.
No, fin. Fin 5. Just think
fin
five, 5.
All right.
But
fin
but you know sawbuck.
Yeah, I know sawbuck.
Good for you.
And dub.
Yeah, my dad used to call him a double sawbuck, but sawbuck.
Yeah.
But even then, the fact that it was a sawbuck, everybody, like the 10 was a major denomination. The 20 wasn't. I bet you it really is the ATM.
I'm telling you, it's the ATM.
Yeah.
Because whenever you get
– it comes out in double saw – dubs.
Right.
Look at me talking street.
There you go.
A dub.
There you go.
I still would say double sawbuck.
Nah.
I like dub. Sawbuck. Though.
It's dub.
But I like sawbuck.
I mean
– I don't know what a sawbuck – I like – but I just like the term sawbuck. So if I have to say 20, I'm going to say double sawbuck just because I like to say sawbuck.
I got you.
All right.
I don't know. I feel like with 1999, like – even with me thinking about it, if someone says, like, oh, it's only $19.99, I'm like, oh, that's not bad.
That's,
like, if someone's like 20, I'm like.
Exactly. Well, that's when they get. It's always at $3.99.
I don't know what it is about one penny.
It's, well, why do you think gas stations? Did you ever see gas stations?
Oh yeah.
It's always it's always $2.99.
Speaking of gas stations, last night I was driving around and I guess the gas station either messed up the price.
Are you talking about the Thorntons on Harlem?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the Shell gas station on Madison Ridgeland.
All right.
$1.16 last night.
Whoa.
Yeah.
$1.16.
$1.16. It was so packed they had cops over there to direct traffic around the gas station.
Because in that same kind of area around the Oak Park area in Chicago area,
mm-hmm.
off the Eisenhower, they're redoing a Thornton's.
Okay.
They have the gas for $7.99. I think it's a mistake. Their signs must not be working.
I don't know what it is, but last night they
$1.19.
$1.16. They honored it.
They did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And to make it that much better, I have a Shell discount card where I save 5 cents off the gallon. So I filled up for $1.11 last night.
So what'd you buy? Like a Sawbucks worth?
Oh no. I got
a dub. Got a dub.
I got a dub.
Good for you.
I filled the card the entire way up. It felt so rewarding.
Wow. Well, their mistake. Well, who knows? Maybe it just goes to show you. I don't understand why gas stations, if they should realize what you could make in volume.
Right.
You know what you won't get for that one person.
Right.
You'll make up in volume.
Oh yeah.
As soon as people see two, especially today. I mean, now the average gas is about $2.59, $2.60. If you put $2, you'd have a line around the block. $1.16 is. I'm surprised there weren't riots. For $1.16, yeah.
It was close to it.
I mean, I haven't seen $1.16 since, you know, my gosh, what year was that?
I've never seen $1.16 in my life, but it was very nice to see it.
I mean, my gosh.
I mean, but when it comes to gas stations, like, you know, the managers have no say in it. It all comes from the higher-ups, but they try to compete with whoever's in, like, a certain mile
radius. Yeah, but so does someone else have it close to $1.16 or $1.19, whatever it was?
No, nobody was close to it.
Something.
And there was a Shell maybe two blocks away, but I don't know what it was with them.
What time was this? In the evening?
I finished up at work about 8, so it was about 8:30.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe they were just playing around.
I don't know.
See if someone would notice.
It must have been for a while, because my friend that lives out there said that she drove past at like 7:45 and saw it.
Really?
And cops have been out there the entire time that it was going on.
Funny.
It was packed.
That's too funny.
I was very happy.
Very good. Well, we have learned a lot today in this first segment of the show. We've learned about As Seen on TV products. We learned that not everybody knows what a shoehorn is.
Negative.
We've learned that the charcoal mask certainly does pull the pus out of your face.
That it does, and it feels great.
And we've also learned that there is a fin, a sawbuck, and a dub. 5, 10, 20. And on that note, play the music. And welcome back to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. And we go to the phone lines for the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Jim.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Wow. Last week we were talking about Harvey Weinstein, and my gosh, in the last week, what's happened even since then?
Right.
My gosh.
The whole movement.
This story has taken on. This thing is spreading faster than a California wildfire.
Oh,
boo! That's a hard thing. That's so hard. I'm seeing a lot of comedians, and James Corden got booed. This is an interesting thing here. You really you have to walk a fine line on making any kind of jokes.
Well, see, and yours is like a double pronged. It's like soon for the Harvey Weinstein jokes, and it's too soon for the California wildfire jokes. So you know, it's like a double whammy.
That's my trademark. My inappropriateness that's why people listen. How inappropriate can this guy be? That's
right.
If I don't do that, then people are disappointed.
Although I have to say, in the workplace now. Thinking about the Harvey Weinstein thing, you've always been very professional, not at all inappropriate.
Right.
It's just when you're,
But now it's, when I'm having the discussion I'm always appropriate. But when I'm just kind of free, you know, like just when I'm introducing the segment, I feel that I can be a little more irreverent.
Right.
But I promise.
You're only inappropriate when you have, like, a big audience. One-on-one.
Yeah, exactly. Which basically you're saying that it's just you and I listening to this. And your son.
Because you're always inappropriate. Well, yeah, James is always listening.
So. Well, see, we're teaching him that he should not
Except
grow up.
Last week. He couldn't last week. You know, that's a topic that you know, I'm just not ready to answer questions about.
Good for you. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think we'll be safe this week. We're going to talk, unless he's a really big, you know, Moody Blues fan.
He's a huge Jay Giles fan.
Yeah. Although, you know, one of their big songs was Centerfold, so now I don't even know if you can talk about that.
I know. I have actually had that on the radio and thought twice. Like, maybe I should. There are certain songs, especially the Sirius, because they don't, none of that is censored, you know.
That's true. That's
true. Satellite radio. It's not like listening to, like, you know, local radio station. So I have to, sometimes I do have to switch the station, and Centerfold is one of those songs, kind of like on the, on the line.
Yeah. Well, when he gets older, the poor kid now, he'll never be able to, you know, you'll never be able to find a Playboy hidden under his mattress. Now you'll just find an iPod.
Well, no, you don't have to do that anymore. Jim, welcome to the 21st century.
I'm just going
to
say,
on his iPad.
You'll find his iPad glowing.
Yes.
Underneath.
This is what I'm going to, forget about the Playboy under the bed. There's so much worse on the internet.
Oh, I know. That's what I mean. Why?
And kids, they know how to use the internet more than we do. I mean, they know how to use, like the adult censoring tools and whatever. I mean, kids are so advanced, they can find ways around that stuff.
Well, here's interesting that you mentioned that, because I've just been, I'm a huge fan of Leonardo da Vinci. In fact, on my email for many years now, my signature kind of thing underneath my name is a Leonardo da Vinci quote, which says, "We must do. We must do."
Yes, I know. I've gotten emails from you. And
I just always thought that was the coolest thing, because he was such a doer. He always was thinking and doing things. And so I always loved that phrase. And there's a new biography about him out, and it's been getting a lot of play. And I want to pick it up. It's supposed to be very thick and very thorough, but I certainly want to read it. And so there, I saw a review of it, and the reviewer of the book was saying how what would be interesting, you know, it's very difficult, as I said, even when we were talking about, I was talking about Hugh Hefner and things like that a few weeks ago. It's very difficult to take people, historical figures, out of their times and out of their context of their lives. And it's easy for us to, judge them by our standards, but you can't really in many ways, because it's not fair. What happened 500 years ago was a different thought process.
Sure.
And so what they were saying was that about Leonardo is that if he were born today and came into our society, what would someone from 500 years ago be surprised about? And you'd think initially, like we're talking, that the first thing that would baffle somebody if they came from 500 years ago into present day would be, my gosh, look at the technology and look what we're able to do and look at the way people live and, with all the emails and cars and everything like that. And this person said it's actually would be much simpler. The person from 500 years ago would be shocked at how many old people there were walking around and being vibrant, because the average age 500 years ago was like 40 years old.
Right.
So to see somebody 80 walking around and not just walking around, but being vibrant. I mean, Leonardo himself was 67. So people certainly lived past 40, but they were the equivalent of our 90 by the time they were 50. And so they said two things. They would be shocked to see how many old people would be walking around and being vibrant and doing things, and they wouldn't just be in a corner, you know, wasting away. And the second thing they'd be surprised is how many people still had their teeth. Because apparently everybody lost their teeth back then.
Well, I'm sure,
yeah, so think about that. I mean, so, you know, you're talking about hiding Playboys underneath a mattress. But what if you came back and you saw, wow, the first thing you'd notice was, wow, look at Everybody's got teeth. So what is your son going to think about, you know, in 40, you know, 20 years from now? Here's my prediction. I won't be around to see it, but hopefully this podcast will be. I was talking to a friend about, you know, what would things be like in 80 or 90 years. Tell me this wouldn't be cool in a movie at the very least. We're talking about the cell phone, right? And you know how I feel about the iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that I don't have one.
Right.
In fact, I was just somewhere. Oh, you know, so, you know, apparently, like, if you go into a into one of the new Amazon stores, they have the bookstores now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Amazon has a retail store, like a brick and mortar store.
Yeah, I think, don't they own everything now?
Yeah, well, they own Whole Foods and everything. Well, apparently, if you go into one of those brick and mortar stores, they don't even have price tags on the shelves because they want you to swipe your phone on a UPC code, and based on if you're a Prime member or you're a frequent, you will get a different price. So everybody,
okay, that's good for me.
Yeah,
I'm a Prime member.
So, but here's my thing: I can't go in there. Then I can't buy a book.
No, that's right. You can't.
I cannot buy a book. But
but
here's the thing: I would predict in James's lifetime, and let's pray, let's hope he lives to be 100. Right.
Oh, gosh.
120. Yeah. Don't you think that given how fast we're moving and how, the iPhone is just a permanent part now of our culture, good, bad, or indifferent, don't you think ultimately that they're going to find a way to put the iPhone's entire technology and its entire implementation into the palm of your hand?
Oh, no, it'll just be like a chip they'll put in your neck, and then...
No, but wouldn't it be... No, but think...
And then it's there.
No, but think about it. I think it's better in the palm of your hand, because then you just open your hand, and you just push buttons on your hand.
Okay, yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
So the screen would be your palm. And when you... And like, say you closed, you made a fist, and that would turn it off. Right?
That's because, okay, so now you're trying to make even like the iPhone of 100 years into the future, you're trying to make into a flip phone.
Exactly.
And it's a flip phone.
Well, it will be called a fist phone. It's a fist phone. I love that. It's a fist phone because that's how you turn it on and off. So you'd have your hand open and you make a fist. And then when you open your hand, then all of your apps and all of your things would appear in your palm. And then you would just press your thing. And then when you're done, you make another fist. And it's off.
Yeah, but the only problem with that is that then anytime you're using your phone, you only really have use of one hand for, like, other things, you know.
Yeah, I know that. But I was just noticing.
If the chip is just creates, like, a hologram that appears before your eyes of everything that's in your phone.
Yeah.
Then hands free.
Right. Well, I'll go with that. It could be a hologram, but I just think that 100 years from now, the act of actually holding a hard device is going to be ridiculous. To your point about the chip and everything, but I think it would be so cool because people already are used to having the phone in their hand. So then why not just, you know, get rid of the middleman and have the phone in your hand?
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I mean, maybe Apple is listening.
Yeah, and because I noticed recently I was in this play, and so I was hanging around with many of the younger people. And so
the
20 somethings.
What's the next generation? Who's
yeah, I don't know.
I don't even know. The post millennials.
They looked at me like I was like my face was on Mount Rushmore. Every reference I made was just like there was a blank stare.
I could totally picture.
Oh, totally blank. Me and this other guy that was actually about 10 years younger than me. We're talking about music because he's like your age.
Yeah.
you know, or a little younger than you. So we were talking about 80s music, and even 80s music they have no clue about. And these two, like,
oh my gosh, are you kidding? Probably 90s music at this point.
Yeah, these couple of, they were like 22, 23, or 25, and we were talking. I saw this one girl just kind of look at the other girl, and I go, you don't even know what the heck I'm talking about, do you? And she's like, I have no clue. But so what I noticed is apparently now there's a new little gizmo that you, it's like a little round cylinder that you stick on the back of your phone in order to hold it. So your pinky.
Oh, yeah.
What is that thing called? Do you know what that is?
I don't know what it's called, but I've seen people who have.
Yeah, so that's the cool thing now. Well, that's what the 20-somethings have.
I think that's for improved selfie taking.
Oh, maybe. Well, so,
you take your selfie without.
Well, they were saying that they can hold the phone better because you put this little cylinder between your fingers.
Yeah.
Casera, do you have that on your iPhone?
Have a what?
This little cylinder that you stick on the back of your iPhone.
Yeah, I do.
You got that? You have that?
Yeah,
what is that called?
I don't know what it's called. It's just so that way, like, you can just hold the phone easily. So that way you're
in between your middle finger and your, as opposed to your pinky doing all the work. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just kind of hold it.
Yeah, it just falls, like, right in between your
index finger. Your middle and the other one.
Yeah, and the ring finger.
Yeah. So you have that.
I do have that.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
See, there you go.
I'm 22. 22. Oh. Sorry,
yep.
22.
See, there you go. As I said, 22.
Okay, but.
They all got them.
But I heard you guys talking about, like, the music thing. I know the 90s and the 80s.
Well, you're a DJ. You don't count.
No, because even before I started DJing, I still knew those songs.
Well, that's good. That's good for you, then. Then you're cool.
Thank you.
You make the scene.
Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I tried. But yeah, that thing on the back of your phone is that way your hand doesn't get cramped as much. If you're not very often.
So, because Sarah just had stepped out of the room. Now, how's this for an idea? This is what I'm saying, maybe in 100 years. Emily laughed at me. But I'm going to call it the fist phone. And in 100 years, the phone will be in your hand.
No, I don't want that.
Hey, why? Then you just press the buttons in the palm of your hand. You don't need that little cylinder that you put in the back.
No, I don't
it's
want
in
that.
Your hand.
No, I don't want that.
And to hang up, you go like this. You make a fist.
Okay, but like, what if like you get really irritated and you just like make a fist in general and you don't mean to like do
then
anything
you are,
on your
then
phone.
You delete all your files.
That's a horrible thing to do. How do I sleep at night if my phone's in my hand?
But it's in your hand anyway.
No, because, okay, but when I'm like when I go to sleep, like
then
I
don't make
I
a fist.
My hand, like my head on my hand. Like,
well, okay, look, I haven't perfected it here.
Okay. All right,
I'm an idea guy.
Okay,
this needs some further thought.
The engineers, I'm Steve Jobs. I'm not over there. I'm not making the glass in China.
I don't know.
I'm just throwing word pictures.
This is a really rough idea.
But my point is everybody's holding the cell phone in their hand.
Yeah.
So my point is let's take the middleman out and put the phone in your hand.
So okay.
And
then
take
a picture.
What's that?
How do you take a picture?
You look right at your fist.
No. What?
What? Do the same thing.
How do you take a picture
the
of
the same way? You put your arm out like you do now.
No, if I want to take a picture of you, though.
Yeah, well, it's on your palm.
So I just turn my hand this way?
Yeah, you turn the palm. Well, then maybe
that's
both hands.
That's awkward.
Well, maybe, maybe the camera's got to be on your knuckle.
No. I don't even think anyone's going to let you, like, I don't even think anyone's going to be your guinea pig.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. You watch.
Okay.
10, 20, 100 years from now, if you're still around, Tim Cook's great-great-grandson's going to come out with a black turtleneck and go, ladies and gentlemen, the Apple fist phone.
No.
Yeah, and they're going to have my picture, and it's going to say, think different.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're a dreamer.
Yeah, well,
I appreciate that.
And I'm not the only one. Someday you'll join us.
I don't think so.
And the fist phone will be as one.
I just want a phone. Okay, but how do I charge it? How do I charge the phone?
Okay, now you're getting way too complicated.
Okay, well, these are just general things you have to think about.
I'm just talking about a Tom Cruise movie where you put the phone in your hand. Now you're talking about
a palm pilot in your hand.
Right.
Okay.
Palm pilot. Fist phone.
Fist phone.
Because back then, we're all going to be cyborgs anyway. So you're going to have an outlet, like, in your armpit.
So now everybody's robots.
Yeah, you're gonna have an arm. You're gonna raise your arm.
So
there's gonna be
a robot.
There's gonna be a two-pronged outlet in your armpit.
Okay.
Everyone's gonna have cords hanging out of their body.
This is advancing very fast.
Yeah. Oh, I not even 100 years. 50.
Oh.
Some engineer at Apple is gonna listen to this and start taking.
I swear to God, the next Blade Runner movie,
yeah,
you watch.
It'll be in a movie. Could be in a movie.
It should be in a movie.
Right.
It
but
will
not
be.
Not in reality.
Well, but that's where it comes from. What was that movie with Tom Cruise? Was it Minority Report?
Yeah, Minority Report.
Where, you know, he was walking in to
a... Sounding very Minority Report-ish, yeah.
Yeah, he was walking into a store, and he was like, and they was already saying, hello,
right.
Would you like a pair of pants? And he was scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
That's already here.
Right.
So, I sadly, you know, you won't be here to mock me because this will be 100 years in the past,
right.
In the future. But
did you just say that's already here? That is a science fiction film.
But no, but we're scrolling.
It's not real, right?
But we're scrolling.
Right.
Did you ever go on Tinder?
Okay,
we're scrolling to the left.
Tinder? Why would I go on Tinder?
Tinder, you're swiping. You're
swiping,
scrolling.
Whatever
you're
the
swiping.
Terms are. You kids with your newfangled terms.
You scroll through your timeline. You swipe on Tinder.
Oh, and you disgust me with all your terms.
You want to make humans into robots.
I don't. James Cameron did. Terminator. Did you ever see it?
Do you know how old Terminator is?
He'll be back.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I don't see Terminators walking around the streets.
In 100 years, you will. In 100 years ago, did they think you could send an email? No.
I don't know what they thought 100
years
ago.
Well, this is my point.
Okay. Okay, but so many years ago, they thought we were going to have flying cars. We don't have that yet.
Well, you can't have everything.
Oh, but we can get
finally get the hoverboard.
Right, look at the hoverboard
But the only problem with those is they started exploding in people's houses.
And right. everybody was falling off of them.
They didn't work out exactly.
No.
They need to be worked out a little bit.
Yeah.
With same as this Palm Pilot in your hand.
No, it's a fist.
Exactly. This is like the hoverboard of the future.
It's a fist phone. I'm calling Elon Musk right now.
You need to have something better than fist phone. Like it
fist
needs to
phone.
Be more like marketable.
Fist phone. It's got alliteration. What
that
are you talking
sound
about?
Sound good.
Fist phone.
I wouldn't want that. That doesn't sound.
What pleasing. Do you want? So what should I call it? A hand job?
No.
Oh, great. Now James can't listen to this episode either.
Way to go. Now you ruined this one too. It's tainted.
Hi, it's the Apple hand job.
I don't know.
Oh, that's perfect.
You've now lost the 7-year-old demographic.
No, think about this.
Man.
The Apple hand jobs.
No.
Oh, perfect.
No, Steve Jobs would not back this idea.
Mind back to 10 minutes ago when I was saying you're always appropriate.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is it's out there. I'm giving that idea.
I'm on record.
So in 100 years, when somebody is going through the dark side of the internet and
they
find
like,
this,
man, I need to invent something that's going to make millions.
They
I know
find
what
this,
to do.
They find this podcast and like, who was that guy? What? How did he know? He's Nostradamus.
He was so ahead of his time.
He was so ahead of his time
that he actually appeared to be massively behind the time.
Yeah.
Nostradamus.
Yeah.
All right. So enough of that. Enough of Jim's Toronto's technology corner.
Oh, the technology corner's over. Oh, man. Darn.
Well, thank you, Emily. I thank you for mocking my my telephone idea.
I'm just trying to help you.
Okay, well, we shall see. And we will talk to you next week. And please let James listen to this one. This wasn't that bad.
Okay, I'll just turn down that one little part.
There you go.
I'll just get my bleep button.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, thanks, Tim.
And hit that little music there. And so that wraps up episode 75 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGN WGNsPlus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted right there on WGNsPlus.com. I'm Elton Jim. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Captain Podtastic is the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.